Some women get burned by the fire and some women rise from it. Welcome to the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo, where goddesses come to rise and go from survivor mode to creation mode. Are you ready, goddess?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo. I am your host, Laura Sanzo. I'm so excited to be sitting down today with Selena Venedelli. I hope I said that right.
Yes.
Selena is a fitness and nutrition coach. She's the owner of Evolve Fitness, author of the Macro Friendly ebook and a Macro Recipe ebook. Selena helps women transform their relationship with foods so they can have control over their life and love who they become through one-on-one coaching. And it was really important for me to have Selena on because this is the part that I love all over you. You know, there's a lot of young ladies in that space of physical fitness in the fitness industry. And, you know, a lot of them will post techniques and, you know, about food and gym life, which is all really important. But what I love about Selena, how she really encompasses other aspects of that fitness journey, including mindset and self-confidence and self-love, which we're all going to talk about, and, you know, emotional eating and all the things that we don't really talk about. And that's really, in my opinion, you know, the meat of somebody's fitness journey, especially if they're just starting out and they haven't really resolved all those like inner conflicts and all that kind of thing. So thank you for being here. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
So let's start with self-confidence because, you know, everybody has to follow you at your Instagram handle. So at Selena Venedelli, I'll put in the show notes and we'll talk about it after. But everyone needs to follow you on Instagram because, you know, you talk a lot about self-confidence and self-worth and comparison. And you guys can't see Selena, but she is a young woman, a millennial. And, you know, especially millennials, I would say in this day and age with social media, I can't imagine because when I was your age, there wasn't social media. I don't even know if there was the internet yet, to be honest with you. And it was tough growing up at that time. You know what I mean? In terms of comparing yourself to other girls and that kind of thing. So I can't even imagine now with social media and the world that we live in, how challenging it must be. So what would be your advice to your peers? So people, you know, you're in your 20s, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm 24. Okay.
So 24, or even like even a little older, what would you be your advice to them? How to be more confident in their own skin?
Honestly, I think it all comes down to, because I know a lot of people want to work out and exercise, eat clean, but they all go into it with the wrong mindset. They go, like a lot of us who work out, we are extremely insecure. We have a lot of like body dysmorphia issues that we don't really realize. But if you actually like sit down and look around, you can tell that the people that grind so hard in the gym, a lot of the times we have a backstory and we want to improve ourselves so much is because we have that past. We have that kind of hurt that we're trying to get over. And social media is all about being smaller and tinier. So people go into it and they're trying to get super tiny, super small, because they think that's what's going to bring them happiness. And they don't realize that you need to do the internal work first and then everything else will follow. I know a lot of people will put their worth in like the number on the scale. And if the number doesn't change, then they mean nothing. They haven't worked hard enough. So I would tell anyone who's currently struggling or even my past self that you won't ever truly be happy until you do the internal work, until you sit down with yourself and see where this all started, where it all stemmed from. Because when we were born, we were so happy. As a child, do you remember ever like being upset, comparing yourself to others, worrying about what you eat? No, you just ate whatever was in front of you, whatever looked good. But then someone said something happened that made you change.
Yeah, I could totally, especially since we're both Italian females, and I could totally agree with that. Because growing up in Italian households, you know, you were never perfect. You're either too thin or too big, or you ate too much, you didn't eat enough. Like there was never, and I'm sure it's like that in many European households. Like I totally relate to that. And I love that because, you know, we talk about that like inner child work and we talk about it in terms of like business and relationships and that sort of thing. But I love that you bring it to the fitness journey. So that's so special. You say that I've always struggled to fit in, to feel wanted, to feel worthy of love, to feel like I was enough. So this podcast is really about women who have overcome adversity to rise. So can you just share a little bit into, you know, where that quote came from in terms of your past and what really has led you to where you are, especially with your fitness journey?
So in the past as a child, I was extremely shy and insecure. I was made fun of a lot by boys. And you always want to get attention from boys when you're younger. And it's just, it makes you feel special. It makes you feel wanted. And when you don't get that attention, you always get picked on. In your head, you think, well, what's wrong with me? There must be something wrong because everyone else is getting attention and not me. So I grew up always seeking that attention because it was nothing. I never really received it. So I think a lot of boys, even growing up, they have this misconception of how to treat women, what women should look like. So they have this false belief that we try to live up to as women because we want to fit into their standards, even though we say like we're our own person, we're strong, we can do our own thing. But deep down, it feels good to be recognized and it feels good to be wanted. So I did notice that carried with me till now. I was noticing the people that I was attracted to in terms of relationships. I would always go for that chase because I never received it when I was younger, and I would always chase. So I would do that now. I never wanted a guy who like wanted me. It was I wanted the one who didn't want me because I wanted that satisfaction I never got when I was younger.
Being so young in your early 20s and recognizing that, I think is so powerful because, you know, I'm 20 years older and I, for myself, and even have met other women who are learning those lessons later on in life. So you should definitely give yourself a pat on the back for that. That's amazing. So let's talk about food for a second. What would be your blueprint for the woman that's listening to this that, you know, they're either an emotional eater or they don't eat with intention? What would be your advice to them about really transforming their relationship with food and how that can really change their life essentially?
So I think it all comes down to mindset. You can try your best. You research everything online of portion control and how to track your food, this and that. But if you're someone who struggles with binge eating, restricting, you're on that vicious cycle, you'll never truly break free until you do the inner work. So there's a great exercise that I have done and I give to my clients. It's called the conditioning waterfall. So there's different parts. So first one is the origin. So who planted this seed? Who made you change what you thought from when you were a child? Was it your parents? Was it society? Was it your siblings, your teachers? Where did it come from? And then you talk about conditioning. So was it something you heard, you saw, you read? Where did that type of connection come from that made you change your thought? Then your story. So the story you've created in your head because of that comment someone said or something that you saw. Then the impact. So how has this impacted your behavior since you were a child or since you were a teenager moving forward? And then confirmation. So what examples can you find that have proved that story you've created in your head? So I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to eat. Well, now when I sit down to have a meal, I only have vegetables and a little bit of protein. I don't have carbs because when I was younger, I was told I was fat. So now I'm constantly trying to look like to chase that smaller look. So I starve myself in hopes to get there. So then once you've written down that part, you then talk about your story now and how that can change. So for your origin, you write the opposite for everything. So your story. So I am powerful. I am strong. I am fit. I'm beautiful. Everything like that. The impact. So now I'm able to eat a well-balanced meal. I don't look for food for comfort. I use it to fuel my body. And then the impact. So how does it impact your behavior and then your interactions with others? So I no longer chase people for attention. I know that I'm deserving of attention. I will attract the right type of person. And then I also have them write a love letter to themselves, a letter of forgiveness from when they were younger, forgiving themselves for going through all that hurt and experiencing all those different types of emotions and kind of leaving that in the past once you've kind of dug up and you're ready to leave them where they are.
I love that because like I know I've worked with trainers before in the past and I don't think there are many trainers that do this kind of work with this clients. And I think this is the type of work that's really going to create sustainability for people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When times like now where we're in super challenging times that we're going to talk about and they're not able to get to the gym and you know what I mean? They have this type of work to really fall on. So that's pretty incredible. So the person that comes to you and says that they've been going to the gym, they've been eating right, and they're just not seeing the results that they want in terms of, you know, a body change or more energy and that kind of thing. So would you start in terms of the mindset behind that work first?
I think mindset is huge because a lot of the times people will say, I'm not seeing any changes, but they're referring to the number on the scale. And that number on the scale tells you not just your body fat, it tells you how much water you have in your system, how much biofeedback, are you stressed? Have you been sleeping? Have you had extra salts in your diet? It tells you so many different things, but people see that number on the scale and it can affect their entire day, their entire week. That number on the scale tells them their worth. And that's not what should happen. So it all comes down to doing that internal work, realizing that the number on the scale is just a number on the scale. And if you're chasing that number on the scale and you expect it to change in a matter of seconds, then this journey is going to be brutal.
I love that because, you know, we really, I think just collectively don't really understand how much stress not only like impacts our mental health, but our physical health as well, and that correlation. Can you just talk to us a bit about the different types of hunger and, you know, if people really recognize and were conscious of, you know, when they're actually hungry versus attaching that to some other emotion, how they'd be able to eat more intentionally?
So there's two big divides. There's either emotional hunger or there's actual physical hunger. So you have to really zone in on yourself. If it's physical hunger, it kind of develops over a period of time. It's not just in a matter of seconds you're hungry. It's okay, so first you notice you're at like a 7, like your hunger level, and then it's an 8, and then it's a 9, and it gradually increases. You have those signs of like a headache, your stomach grumbles, you feel weak in a sense. So that's actually physical hunger. But emotional hunger is triggered by stress, anxiety, depression. You'll notice that you crave more sugary foods, those feel good comfort foods. You don't really want to sit down and have a full balanced meal. You'd rather kind of just binge eat whatever's there to kind of suppress your feelings. So that's a two big divide between different types of hunger. And then there's also celebratory hunger. So you go out with friends and you're celebrating a birthday and you're not actually hungry, but you're around food, you're around people. So you're actually eating more than you should be. And you kind of feel guilty for saying no. So you eat more than you should. And it's just this constant cycle.
I have a daughter who's 12, and even when she was younger and she used to eat, I would always ask her, are you eating because you're hungry or are you eating because you're sad? And even now when she's 12, she'll like, if she eats like something, she'll be like, I'm emotional eating. And, you know, she's saying it like as a joke almost, but I'm almost glad that she can recognize that.
Exactly.
Right. At that young age. So you say it's possible and people are going to love this. So you say it's possible that people can eat more, lose fat in their stomach and gain muscle in their booty. So talk to us a little bit about that reverse diet, because you brought up carbs. And I think for some people, I guess it's just what they've heard society say is that, you know, you can't eat carbs or, you know, all and that sort of thing, just, you know, or minimize meals. And so what would you say to that? That's gonna make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, so for a lot of people, they think carbs are the enemy. Sugar from fruit is bad. Fruit has two carbs. And it's just people have been brainwashed to think that the less you eat, the better. And that's the opposite. Your body tends to stop working when you don't feed it enough. When you're super stressed, your cortisol goes through the roof, so your body doesn't really respond properly. It affects your gut, and your gut makes up 70% of your entire body. Mm-hmm. So if you're having problems with your gut and digestion, it's going to make you bloated. It's going to make the scale go up and everything like that. But when you learn to kind of fuel your body, and a reverse diet is when you're doing it super slow. So you're not adding in all this food all at once. You're doing slow incremental increases by like 15 grams of carbs every week or 2 weeks to allow your body to kind of adapt and adjust. Because if you've been restricting for a long time, your body has adapted, adjusted. It's slowed down its metabolism in order to survive, because that's your body's number one response. When you're trying to harm it by not eating, it's going to shut down and not really want to release that much energy. So you have to slowly increase your food, let your body adapt. You'll notice that you start feeling hungrier more often. So the faster your metabolism, the more calories you burn just by sitting around doing work, everything like that. And then when you build muscle, the more muscle you have on your body, the more calories you burn. Muscle burns a lot more calories than fat. So people will think that just going to the gym will make a difference, but it's your diet that makes a huge difference. You can't put on muscle to boost your metabolism and your energy if you're not fueling your body enough to replenish that.
This question just came to me. What do you say to that person that goes to the gym or just even at home and just really focuses on cardio? Because you just said that muscle burns fat, and that's a lesson I learned on early on in life, which I love. Yeah. So what would you say to that person that just focuses on cardio because they just want to they have that mindset, they just want to burn calories?
Yeah. So a lot of people see that calorie goal as like where they should be. A lot of people come to me after and be like, well, I have that skinny fat look now. It's because you don't have any muscle underneath. So you kind of look very stringy and the cardio, yes, is good for your like cardiovascular health, your heart and everything like that. But you really want to focus on weightlifting, because weightlifting is a 2-in-1. You're burning calories from doing your weightlifting and it's a cardio type thing. So you'll notice that you're very out of breath after your sets. It should be challenging. And having that 2-in-1 is amazing. And then cardio can just be done as like a warm up, a cool down, or added in if you need to get a few extra calories burned. But a lot of people don't realize as well as on these cardio machines, when they're telling you how many calories you've burned, it's an estimate. It's not accurate. Because it can only tell you like based on your weight, but it has no idea how much body fat you have, how much muscle, because that alters depending.
So the person that does like half an hour on the treadmill and then it goes to have like 2 donuts, they're just...
Exactly. It's the purpose. Yeah, you're getting your steps in, but you won't really see any changes on the scale or in the way your clothes fit in pictures, anything like that.
Do you want to talk about a little bit about the micro-friendly ebook and then your macro recipe book?
Yes. So my Beginner's Guide to Tracking Macros basically teaches you how many calories you should be eating in terms of proteins, fat, and carbs. So ideally, protein should be anywhere from 0.8 grams per body pound to 1 gram per body pound. It tells you how many calories are associated with each. It also talks about micronutrients, so vitamin A, C, D, and the importance of each vitamin. So a lot of people don't realize the importance of having all those three macronutrients and what they're used for. So it explains to you kind of when you should be eating fat in your meal, when you should be primarily having carbs, and then when you should be having protein. It kind of breaks everything down. And then my recipe ebook kind of gives you macro friendly recipes for you to enjoy with your family. It gives you the calorie breakdown of how many protein, carbs, and fats. And kind of allows you to realize that you can have variety. You can still reach your goals and have the foods you love. You don't have to sit and eat broccoli and chicken for the rest of your life, like a lot of people would have said before. It's possible to have a cookie at the end of your day or to have a few chips and to fit that in to your calories for the day and still see results.
Which I think is so important for people, because I feel that, you know, once people feel that they're deprived from something, and not even just about food, but just in general, is when it's not sustainable. It doesn't allow them to be sustainable, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Once you label food as healthy and not healthy, you've created a relationship with food. There should be no relationships with food. Relationships are for people. So the minute you say chips are bad, I can't have that, the more you want it. As a kid, when someone told you, no, you can't do that, what did you want to do?
Exactly.
You wanted to do it. So that's the whole concept behind it.
You said something that I thought was so powerful, and that we owe it to our daughters to love our bodies unapologetically. So I don't even know if I said that right, but that's so powerful to me, especially since I have a daughter. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes. So right now I'm in teacher's college, and within my degree, I learned that children pick up on stuff so quickly. So from birth until the age of like 4, children are like sponges. We don't realize how much they actually take in, absorb, and then take with them for the rest of their life. So see mom go in the mirror, try on these clothes and say, oh, I look gross. I'm so fat. Or I don't like my hair. Or I shouldn't be eating, that's too many calories, or I'm going to get fat. Or even telling your child like, oh, honey, don't have that. Like, you're going to gain weight, or that's not healthy for you. The child then grows up and then will look at herself, and you'll catch your child saying, oh, I don't like the way I look. I don't look good in this. Oh, I look so ugly. And then that negative self-talk, it's carried on to your child. And then they grow up with this kind of distorted image of who they are and what they look like compared to the world around them and how the world sees them.
I love that. So you say guilt, binging, restricting, anxiety are things that don't belong in your diet. Carbs, fat, protein, micronutrients do. So in terms of with your clients, how do you allow them to really make space for that and, you know, release the guilt and the restricting and the anxiety and, you know, really lean into the opposite of that?
I think a lot of it has to do, again, with mindset, and like they have to be completely open and honest, because if we kind of keep things inside and don't express them, there's only so much work you can really do, and there's so much you can actually evolve into and how much you can change. And you'll realize that this process isn't easy. And if you're not willing to receive the help and take it, then you're going to fall back in this binge eating, restricting cycle as soon as you're no longer with your coach. As soon as you realize that changes aren't happening as fast as you expected, then all of your old habits are going to kind of come back and you're going to be fighting with your ego, because your ego wants to keep you small and safe. It wants to protect you. And then there's your higher self that knows you deserve better, that knows you can do better. But your ego kind of always stops you from that. It's that negative voice in your head that has stopped you from doing everything in life that you've wanted to do.
I love how you really incorporate like woo and spirituality into into the finished journey. I think that's so unique and powerful. So we are obviously living in very challenging times and we're all out of routine and we have been for months. And so when we're talking now where we live, we're in a second phase. So that means gyms closing again, which I'm sure is pretty much the case in a lot of the world. So what would you say, or what do you say to your clients for, you know, what can they do at home, even for somebody that doesn't have any equipment, to just really stay in that routine? And I think, again, a lot of it is just like staying balanced mentally as well, right? More even so than physically, but just really stay in some type of routine that allows them to be okay, really.
Yeah, I think a huge part of it is having that schedule. We're so used to when life is normal, we're always go, go, go. We have to be here, there, everywhere. And now that we're kind of stuck in our houses and some of us are working, some of us aren't, we have so much extra time. And when we have too much time, our thoughts kind of wander and we catch ourselves in this downward spiral, because COVID has been, it's been a hell of a year. And for a lot of people who generally struggle with mental health, right now it's a lot worse. So I do recommend that you create some sort of schedule. Have a set wake up time, a set time where you go to bed. So there's those consistencies there and you're not overly tired, because when you're tired, your moods are all over the place. Make sure you go outside, get your steps in. Fresh air is so amazing. It helps you clear your mind and you can come back home and then go back to work, do your school work, do housework, whatever you had to do, and you'll have a more positive outlook on everything versus just being cooped up inside all day. I strongly believe in affirmations. Those are a lifesaver. Just writing down I am instead of I am not, or I can, I will, like telling yourself that you will and you're already there. So I am beautiful. I will attract the perfect man of my dreams. I will attract a lot of money flow, anything that you want in life, just writing as if you're already there. The same thing with journaling. If you struggle with depression and anxiety, kind of writing down your thoughts and even ripping up that paper and throwing it out. So you're physically getting those thoughts out of your head. You're ripping up the paper and you're getting rid of it. And then writing down as if, like I said before, you're already where you want to be. You own a beautiful house. You own that car of your dreams. You have the job that you've wanted for years. And even meditating, that's huge. Just kind of sitting there and just being in silence and recharging yourself and starting your day with a positive mindset versus being clouded with all of your thoughts.
I love this because, you know, I can see why somebody would listen to this and be like, well, I want to lose weight, or I want to, you know, be more toned. And people don't really realize how much, or how we sometimes we're holding weight energetically. You know what I mean? When we start to actually, I had another guest on the podcast who is in human design. And she said that, you know, once upon in her life, she was in a relationship that wasn't serving her. And she did everything she could to lose weight. She was like eating right and working out and doing everything, you know, mechanically we're told is right to do, and nothing was happening. And then as soon as she left that relationship that wasn't serving her, it's like she wasn't even like, she was obviously doing some action, but wasn't like showing up at the gym when she didn't want to, or not, you know, depriving of her the things. And it's just like she said, melted off her body. And so that's why it's so important to incorporate all these things.
Yeah, that just gave me a thought, because a lot of people say they want to lose weight, they want to eat healthy, but does it stop you from partying with your friends every weekend or from having that extra drink? No. So you need to dive deeper. So why do you want to change so badly? Is it because you're not able to find a partner? You want to be in a relationship so badly, but you don't feel like you're in a place where you can receive love. So when you dive deeper and kind of really hit that internal mark of what hurts, that's what'll get you to stick to your goals of feeling good in your clothes, feeling confident, and being able to attract the person you want to.
I love that, because it's almost aligned with success. I think a lot of people don't show up for success because they don't think that they're worthy of it. So is there anything that's coming to you in terms of downloads or resonating with you that you're being called to share?
Honestly, if you're struggling right now, if you're a young adult, if you're a teenager, and you're going through a hard time in your life, just know that you're not alone and you can reach out to me if you ever need any support or guidance along the way. We can definitely talk because I think that's huge. Keeping everything inside will eat away at you, and using food to kind of cope with your emotions and using that as your security will lead to other issues down the road, diabetes, heart disease. And you want to be there for your family. You want to be there for yourself. And how can you pour from an empty cup, right? You have to fill your own cup first before you can give to others. So if you're struggling, you're not alone. Learn to fuel your body properly. Your body is here for you. It's the only person that is here for you, that shows up for you every day. Not all of us have supportive families. Not all of us have that circle around us who supports us, but your body has been there for you every day, no matter what you've gone through.
Oh, that's so powerful. So what's next for you? We're in the final months of 2020. What can we expect?
So I'm thinking of releasing a 14-day free challenge for everyone who's looking to lose anywhere from 2 to 10 pounds. And with that, whoever wins that kind of transformation, whoever is engaging within the Facebook group and shows up every day despite life's challenges, because we all do go through some challenges throughout life, will receive a free coaching month with me to kind of help them along their journey as well.
I love that. That's so powerful. So amazing. And such a perfect time to do that before we start off another year.
Right.
Thank you so much. You are incredible.
Thank you.
Just gonna learn so much from this, and I think just have a whole different vision of, you know, showing up at the gym differently, eating differently, and just showing up every day differently. So thank you so much. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my god, the pleasures are all ours. Thanks everyone, we'll talk to you next time. Mm-hmm.